good to see everyone this evening, and want to welcome you out to the house of the Lord.
Bless you, Jimmy.
And I've been looking forward to this all day.
Amen.
I tell you what, this little church down here is getting to be a place of refuge for me.
Hallelujah.
And it's a little place where we can have some peace from everything that's going on around us, and maybe hopefully get a little strength and encouragement.
Amen.
While we're here. And I know that's going to happen, because the Lord just, I just imagine the Lord in His storehouse above us when He opens the windows out.
Amen.
And pouring the blessings out, you know. And I'm not looking for a new car or a big fancy house or
Amen.
A big bank. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some peace, some joy, some happiness. Compassion from God, that's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
To me, that's the blessing.
Amen. I doesn't have that in the new Cadillac.
Amen. I would too.
Couldn't afford one, no way.
No.
Praise the Lord.
Number 231, that's
QF.
There's not a friend to be left with.
There it is.
There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not a blood. No, not a blood. None else could heal our sins and diseases. No, no friend like him.
like him, is there? Never will be.
Got a couple of places in God's Word I'd like to, the help of the Lord, share with you just a minute.
Bless you, brother.
In Ezekiel chapter 31, then we'll be in Mark chapter 8. Never ceases to amaze me how alive God's Word is.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 31, we'll begin with verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fire branches, and with a shallow, and with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was likened to him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. Now what's happened here, Ezekiel has been asked, he's actually prophesying to Egypt. But God is bringing to his memory about the Assyrian king and how that he lifted himself up. God's the one that made him great.
Yeah.
In the first place, he made the king of Assyrian great, and now he's allowed the king of Egypt to become great. And he's getting himself a little puffed up. And because he's fixing to exalt himself, he sent Ezekiel to prophesy to him and remind him. See, this would have been common knowledge. It had been history to the Egyptian. So he's reminding him what happened to the king of Assyria. And he brings him low. He destroys his empire. The kingdom of Assyria is gone. Even though he says, when God created him and allowed him to become the king and take over the world as much as he did, that was through God's power and his might. But see, he got in himself. But what I noticed about this, he's referring to him as a tree.
Yeah.
The man is a tree, the king is a tree, the nations as trees under this one great tree. And what made me think about this was in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and begin with verse 22. And he came to Bethsaida, and there bring a blind man, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hand upon him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly.
Amen.
Now, I've heard different people teach on it, and I'm not disputing them or the way the Lord showed them, but the Lord showed me something different in this, and it was just helpful to me. I've even heard preachers in time past say that, you know, the Lord's power was hindered here for some reason. And I don't know about anybody else, but my God don't do nothing halfway.
Amen.
My God don't.
He's showing us something.
He don't do nothing halfway. And I'm of the opinion, this what the Lord, when the Lord touched this man, he says he spit on his eyes. Now think with me just a minute. This is the Lord, God in the flesh to begin with. That spit coming out of him is water coming from God. So when it landed on that man, I believe it took him past the natural. I believe the man was looking spiritual.
Yeah.
Because of the reference that Ezekiel had, and there's so many references over in Revelation, I think chapter 11, it refers us to who witnesses as olive trees. And they're standing by the water of life, the river of life. And he looked up and he saw these men as trees walking. And I'm sure that he probably seen there by the river of life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that the reason he touched him the second time, the man probably couldn't stay there in that spirit long. We can't stay in the spirit when God pours his spirit out on us. Oh, I'd love to stay there if I could. And to feel that blessing from God and the spirit on us, I'd love to stay there permanently. And one day we will. We're going to one day. But this natural body can't take that. And the Lord, when he touched him again, it said he was restored. He was restored back to the natural. But I know that. I guarantee you one thing, he got 20/20 vision.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. But I just, when I read that and looked at it, I thought, my God don't do nothing halfway. That's not the way he works.
No.
Now he might not work and move in the way that we think he ought to sometimes, but really that's for our own good and our own purpose anyway. He's never made a mistake. He's never done anything the wrong way. And everything that he does for us is for our benefit.
Right.
I've looked back over the years so many times and I thought, boy, I wish it went this way or I wish it that went that way. But come to find out years later or maybe even months later, it worked out for my good, for my benefit,
right,
and for the glory of God. And that's what we're putting. That's what we're assembled here tonight. That's what I come here to go honor and glorify God.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be standing here.
Amen.
I know where I'd be.
Bless you.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be burning in hell right now. There's no doubt in my mind. If it wasn't for his mercy and his love.
Praise the Lord.
And I thought about this. Boy, if we could just look. And to me, when God spit on him and that water from God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, touched that man's eyes and him looking in the spirit, I thought, boy, if we could just look through the eyes of God,
mm-hmm,
if we could just do that, if we could have that vision. And to me, that was a vision that the man had, men as trees. And without a vision, we're going to perish.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this, and we'll be done. I've got a vision for this church.
Thank you, brother.
I do. I have a vision and a burden for it.
Okay.
Now, I'm like everybody else. I would love to see the church full. Because to me, if the church is full, then that's that many more people that don't have to burn in hell.
Amen.
But you know what I would rather see? I'd rather see this church full of God's Spirit and His power and His love and His compassion and His mercy. Yeah, trees, Brother Paul. Got anything to do for the Lord? I know Brother Paul does.
Bless you, brother. Appreciate you opening up. Good thought. Something to study about. And God's word's good for you, ain't it?
Amen.
He ain't never early. He ain't never late. Thank you, son. He's always right on time, ain't he? And just like I've read, his ways is far above our ways, and his thoughts is far above ours. And you know, if he'd have been here 2 or 3 days ago, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And heavy-hearted, but God got the glory, didn't he? And he raised him from the dead. It wasn't long after that he's wanting to kill him again. And So you know tonight, anything that the Lord does, it's always on time. But whatever he does, there'll be a counter reaction of Satan to try to put it down and to get rid of it and get it out of the way. But I'm telling you, they've been trying to do this for, I don't know, how many thousand years, 5, 6, 7,000 years, they've been trying to put God away and do away with him. They'll never do that. They'll try everything. They tried in the garden. They tried before the boat was built. They tried when kings and of course when Deuteronomy and then when Judges took over and all through the Bible, they tried to do away with God. But he ain't. They must have not read the back of the book. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And besides him, there is no other God. I mean, there's nothing out there. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah tonight, in about the 43rd verse, chapter. And Isaiah chapter number 43. And I hope and pray tonight the Lord will be a help to you. And pretty amazing what the Lord does and how he does it. But I want you to pay close attention tonight to what the Lord is saying here in the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now what the Lord's dealing with here in the chapter prior and this one and after, if you'll get a hold of what Gene opened up with and what we're going to share with you tonight, I believe it'll be a help and a blessing to you. But God's dealing with his delight in his elect. You're not only dealing with his delight or his delight of his people, of his elect, he's also dealing with the blindness and the deafness of Israel. And he goes on talking about he makes a way in the wilderness and goes on to say there's no other God. So if you look at Ezekiel and you think about what Brother Gene read about the trees that growed up and they got big and the branches reached way out and the roots went down to the water. It's kind of like a picture of a mountain. And you look at that mountain and you see something that's holding that mountain up. It's dirt. And you see that tree, that nation, that people that's got a, he talks about a tree and it's got long arms. And it's got a way to where people can build their lives. That's what the Lord is saying. He said, my ear's not dull and my arm's short that I can't reach. Now, but God has delight in his elect. But he don't want us to puff up and get prideful and think that we're the ones that are doing it. If we do, that he'll turn and do us hurt. But Isaiah chapter number 43 verse 1 said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he hath formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. For fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, and I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it's the truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. You may be seated tonight in the house of God. A lot of reading there, and he goes on to tell them there that he declared that they'd be saved, and he showed them that you couldn't have no strange gods before him, because he was the Lord. But I want you to notice tonight, here in the Word of God, he goes on down here, and he said, I've redeemed you because I'm the Lord. He said, for your sakes have I sent Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and their Chaldeans, whose cries in their ship, I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And he goes on to tell in the Word of God what God has done for us, and what the Lord wants to do for us. And we got to thinking about this today, and a lot of things going on at work that we can't say a whole lot about. But I believe God, he'll always be there, and he'll make a way in the wilderness. He'll make a way in the desert. He'll make a way when it seems like there is no way. But notice here in the starting of this verse right here, this chapter that I read, I want to go to a very familiar scripture here in the book of Daniel for a minute tonight. It's all of God. The Lord just seemed like laid it on her heart about dinner or somewhere in there. He told us there, and we know that God is no respecter of person. I mean, he loves us, and he gave his son for us to die, that we could have life, and we could have life everlasting in the presence and in the glory of God. But we've not got there yet. He said there a while ago, I'd like to see the trees of God flourish in the house of God. John in the book of the Revelation, and you'll see it in Daniel's life, where the Lord took him up into the Spirit and began to show him things that a natural man can't see, just like he did. Brother Paul, one day, he said, I knew a man 14 years ago. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, God knoweth. And he showed him some things that a natural man can't see. Here tonight, if you're lost without God out there listening to us, you won't know what I'm talking about. It's spiritually discerned. But we as the people of God, if you've been saved by the grace of God, God told us right here in chapter number 43 of the book of Isaiah, he said, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. He said, and through the rivers, I'll be, they shall not overthrow thee. He said, when thou walkest, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, in the third chapter, I want to look right here tonight just for a little bit. We see about a man here. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw a statue. He saw a giant. And brethren, he began to describe that giant, what he was made up of, how there was clay and brass and different the house of this giant that he's seen. And Daniel begins to describe it to him. And he begins to tell him, he said, that's you. He said, God's raised you up and given you a kingdom. And brother, and you got to understand, it doesn't matter what you see out there. If you see a tree of men walking as trees, they'll either be the trees in Psalms chapter number 1, or they'll be trees just like he read about right there. They got pride and raised themselves above God and above the things that are even called God. But when Nebuchadnezzar began to see this image of gold and the house of it and everything, I want you to notice tonight that we see here that Nebuchadnezzar, he began to look at this, and brother, and couldn't get his counselors or nobody to tell him what it meant, so on and so forth. But we know tonight that, brother, that God give Daniel and some few men here the ability to make a stand for God. Maybe some of them didn't understand what was going on. Maybe some of them didn't understand what was taking place. It was obvious that the counselors and the men that was under Nebuchadnezzar, they couldn't interpret things like that. But God's people will always be able to discern between good and bad, what's right and wrong. I say tonight, if we need anything in the house of God, we need discernment. We need to discern if it be of God or if it be of man. If it be of God, you can't stop it, but if it's of man, it'll come to naught. But here was a man one day that began to rear himself up, and brethren, really begin to think, well, I've got it all. I've got control over everything. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set a decree out. He said, and I'm going to tell everybody, brother, that's under me, every time they hear the sound of a musical instrument, he said, they got to bow to me. They got to bow. And you know the story here tonight. The Bible said there was three Hebrew children. They'll call me Shadrach and Abednego. They made their mind up. Maybe some way or another, Daniel, they say, I've heard it, if not the oldest book in the Bible, it was written a long time. But here these boys, no doubt, you reckon if they ever thought about Isaiah chapter number 43 verse 3, wonder if they thought about that, because when they heard the sound of the sackcloth and the psaltery and the flute and all kinds of musical instruments, and Nebuchadnezzar told them to bow, and the Bible said at whatever time you heard this, you had to bow and you had to recognize it. I think about tonight as we look at this, and I wonder in my mind tonight if Nebuchadnezzar thought that he had the ability to overpower people and get them to bow at his command. Listen tonight, we're living in a world, brother, they want you to bow at everything. I remember a time, guys, listen, I remember a time and a day in my life, brother, when men that were police officers were well looked upon, and they were highly respected, and most young boys would say, I want to be a policeman when I get big now. But nowadays, brother, it's so bad, and so nobody's joining the police force or nothing else. Why is that? Because of a lot of persecution and a lot of prejudice things are going on in this world. I'm going to tell you out there tonight, beloved, God ain't looking at red, yellow, black, and white. He's looking at the heart of man. He's wanting to know what you're going to do with the Son of God.
We ought to honor our police officers, as good and bad and everything. But you mark her down out there, buddy. You can put your hand in your pocket and put your hand knee on a white man and looking like you've got no conscience, no feeling, no nothing about you. It'll catch up with you, buddy. I mean, I'm saying that I don't know what's right or what's wrong concerning this situation that you know what I'm talking about. But you can be sure your sins will find you out. And brother, before pride, I mean, when a man has pride, destruction and the downfall is on the way. Before, I mean, always God, he helps us and warns us and shows us the right way to go. So make our mind up tonight. We're just not bound to everything. I told this up out here a while back. The company I work for now, they making shirts and pendants that's got the color of the rainbow, the color of the rainbow. That's a mockery to God. God put a bow in the sky to tell us that he wouldn't destroy it with water no more. But nowadays it's a sign that sodomy is approved and same-sex marriage and living together and shacking up. Any way you want to look at it, it's all right now. By the grace of God, don't get me a pen and I'm not wearing it. And don't buy me a t-shirt. I'm not advertising. Hey, tonight, we don't have to bow to this world. If we'll stand for God, and God will stand for us. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was out there one day, and all of a sudden, brother, a WQUT come on, and brother, Slow Ride come on, and maybe another rock and roll song. I don't know what it was, but it was a flute and a sandbox and an instrument, a musical instrument. When they blow the horn on that thing, brother, hundreds and hundreds of people, and they bowed down to that thing. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said those men, they didn't bow, they didn't bow, and the king got slaughtered. He got angry and mad, and they went to him and said, "Didn't you say that everyone that didn't bow to your command would be cast into a fiery furnace?" And the wrath and the madness of God, brother, he heated that furnace up seven times hotter. And the Bible said that he bound those three men, and they bound them and their coats and locked them down and throwed them in the fire. And they said this right here, and he said, "Hey boys, you didn't bow like I told you to." And they said this, "Oh king, we're not careful to answer you on this matter, whether God delivers or whether he don't. I'm not a bowing." And brother, the anger that raged up in him, he cast them into that fiery furnace. Think about this tonight. King was up all night. He got up there in the morning. I ain't even gonna read. Well, let's do. Let's read. It's starting the 20 in the third chapter of Daniel. Let's read right here. In verse number 23. It says Daniel 3:23 said, "And these three men," notice he called them men. He said, "These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.'" And looky here. "And he answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" Hey, out there tonight, him old boys said, "We're not going to bow. We're not going to bow down to this world. We're not going to bow down to your kind of music." And by the anger of Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, heated that furnace up, bound them boys up and bound them up. And I don't know how, but he bound them up, but they was bound up. And the furnace was so hot there. And when they throwed them in there, it burnt the ones up and throwed them in there. And old Nebuchadnezzar went down there and said, hey, didn't we throw three men in there? He said, how is it I see four men loose walking around? I can't help but to think tonight, maybe old Meshach looked at Shadrach and said, I've read Jeremiah, I've read Isaiah, chapter number 43, what did he say? He said, if you get in the water, it won't overflow ye, and the rivers will not overflow ye. And but boy, did you remember reading this? He said, when you get in the fire, he said, it'll help you to walk through it. That means God's power and God's promises, guys. He'll not let down his people. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm saying tonight, whatever you're in out there, keep trusting in it. The waters won't run over you. The flood won't get you. The fire won't burn you. Why is it? Because God said, I'll take care of my own. Think about it. It took courage for these boys not to do that. It took courage for those men to say. Now, I don't care. We're not careful to answer you on this matter. Oh, King, whether the Lord delivers or whether he don't, we're not going to bow to you. Listen tonight out there. We're living in a politically correct world. You can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. I tell you what they're trying to do. I know we've been in a pandemic and social distance has driven a lot of people away. But God help us as people of God to get back knitted together and tell the world that God's with us. And no matter what we go through, God will get us through it. Buck, I don't understand why it happened the way it did, but I can't understand Romans 8:28. But I know one thing tonight, guys. Hey, ain't nothing that'll happen to a child of God that's not filtered through the hands of God. And I say, if God says if it's good for you, it must be good for you. They said, we're not going to bow. He's so mad, and he bound them up, throw them in the fire. Up all night, I wonder, just worried to death, what am I going to know, oh Lord? What about these boys? And what about that old Daniel that's able to interpret dreams, and then they're stuck together like glue? And I promoted Daniel up now to 120 princesses, and he's over them, and they snuck around, caught him a-praying, and I went to the king, said, he done exactly what you told him not to do. And as soon as they did, you know what old Daniel done? He said, I ain't a-bowing, king. I'm going to do like I've always done. Hey, I'm going to open my windows toward Jerusalem and thank the living God that he hears me when I pray, and they thought him in the den of lions, starve animal to death, and then throw a human down there, ripping and a-tearing and destroying. Hey, can't you see the devil ripping and a-tearing and destroying lives? But God's people have to fluff that big lion up there and lay his head down on it. Oh, Daniel said, oh, king, I live forever. God shut the mouth of the lions. And what do you think tonight of what the book of James or Titus is? James, he said, them that's blabbing and telling, he said, their mouths must be stopped. God can shut the lion's mouth, and God can shut a bunch of gossiping up. Amen. Why is that? People don't bow to it. People go to talking to me, and I'm going to tell you something. And I can tell by the tone what they got on their mind. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk off, because I'm going to tell you why. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Way to stop gossiping is to stop listening to it. The way to stop people's mouths is just tell them you don't want to hear it. I say tonight, you want to tell me something about Lake Creek or the trees of God down here? If it ain't good, don't tell me. Hey, tonight, don't worry anyhow. God will bring a bird by the house and a tree. and tell me your secrets. But I tell you tonight, we're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you and to keep us from bowing any more than we've already bowed. I get angry when I think about the damage that the churches went through in a little over a year now. I get a godly anger about me, Donnie. I've got mad at myself. I mean, you know, I ain't always done right. And if there's a preacher that's got any God about him at all, he ought to tell you that. I'm just a man just like yous are. I face temptations just like yous do. I defy the devil every day and night. But I've learned a little bit along the way. I wrap myself around this old book and meditate on it, go to sleep with it, and the boogerman leave. You don't have to bow, guys. But don't it discourage you of the damage that we went through? I thought about this. I'll go ahead and say it. Don't get mad at me if you do. Go ahead and send me a letter or whatever you want to. I thought some of you are stronger than what you are. I thought some of you were a little tougher than you was. Tell you what'll happen when the music goes to playing and you go to bowing, and you go to bowing too long, it'll get you. I'm glad tonight God give us some examples like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego that said, I'm not going to deny my God. I'm going to pray whether you like it or not. I'm not going to bow to that music you're playing whether you like it or not. And Nebuchadnezzar looked down there and said, I see, we put three in there, didn't we? Yes. How is it I see the fourth one back here in the book? The book of Daniel, the old Bible. How is it that fourth one I see? It looks like the Son of God. I tell you why it looked like him. I believe it was him. He was right in the midst of that thing, boys. And just walk around me, Jesus. And the Bible said they got him up out of there. And the only things was burnt. That was a rope that was a hold of him. Didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Why is that? It's because they simply wouldn't bow to this world. You bow to this world, you'll smell like the world. You run with a dog, you lay in the dog, you'll smell like a dog, and you'll get fleas. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad we've got the Bible, ain't you? I mean, God tells us right here. I thought about this story right here when Gene was in the Ezekiel book a while ago. If you look back in the 18th chapter of this book, he looked out there one day and he seen a baby laying out there in a field, polluted in its own blood. The Bible said that nobody had mercy or compassion upon it. But the Bible said, I walked by it. And he said, I put my skirt over it. He covered its nakedness. He took that little baby out of that bowl, out of that open field and picked it up. And its navel cord hadn't even been cut. And I can imagine, he cut that little baby's navel cord. I don't know if he took that spit. I don't know if he quit the end of that thing. I know he quit this end of it. But maybe he left the other end in the sun walls of hell where he picked himself out of. Out of the field, out of the world, out of this mess. And he picked us up, and the Bible said he washed it. What did he wash it with? What lesson is that us for? Is that for us tonight? Right, here's what he's talking about. He washed it with the water of the Word of God. Wherein can a young man cleanse his ways? Right here in this blessed old book. And he washed it and cuddled it and took care of it. And that thing began to grow. That's us, guys. But by the grace of God, us don't look in the looking glass one day and say, look how beautiful we are. Look how big of a tree we've become. If you do that, you'll begin to bow. She growed up and was beautiful. You know what the Bible said? She looked in the looking glass one day and said, look how beautiful I am. And you know what happened? She began to lay with every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. Spreading her disease. spreading her pride, spreading her fornication, spreading her adultery, spreading all that. And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And you mark her down, buddy. God said, all of you laid with. He said, I'm gonna pile them up in the bed with you. Hey, tonight, a bird of a feather will flock together, but God's people that'll stand for God and won't bow to this world. I'm telling you tonight, guys, I ain't much, but God help us all not to bow to this music, not to bow to this song that America's playing now. Hey, tonight, right's right, wrong's wrong, and God is always right. Man, it won't stand for what's right. There ain't nothing to him. Man, it won't call sin sin. There ain't nothing to him. Man, that'll pacify and pat on the back for a salary and a place to live in and a car to drive. If he's like that, he's a tree that's grown up in himself and he might know a little about God. But I'll tell you one thing, when the wolves come, and hireling will run every time, but God's people, they'll put the war paint on and say, hey church, let's not bow to everything coming and going. Praise the Lord. This is an example, guys. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. I mean, we're something peculiar. We're precious in the eyes of God. I know precious is the death of one of his saints in the eyes of God. I can't explain that. It hurts. It rips our heart out. But there's something on the inside of us. Pulling and thinking about maybe one day by the grace of God, if I live right to the endure to the end, we'll get to reunite with the loved ones and tell our kindred good morning and hello Jesus. But I tell you one thing, you ain't going to bow to stuff and get there. I don't know, I may lose my job over it, but I'm not bound to that mess. I mean, I work up there and I don't agree with a lot of things. You work in places, Donnie, you don't agree with. You work at places you don't agree with. But I'll tell you one thing, when they throw the mud and the hog trough and the corn and paint up everything, I'm not getting there wallowing around with them. Amen. Funny thing to me, I don't know if they've caught on yet or not. Get in there for infidels and believers and dignitaries and doctors, and they ask me to pray every day. And I just say, Lord, use your Holy Ghost to speak through me. Tear somebody apart. And every now and you hear, I say, praise God, God, just break that old heart and give them a heart like you want them to have. They are in the Lord calling somebody. Praise the Lord, Buck. I love him to death. He's as common as a shoe. That's what I love about him. He said, I've got that thing cut off. I've got two over there. Watch one of them ring. I tell you what, by the grace of God, I've got a work phone and my phone. If the Lord lets me live and I get to retire down here on the natural side, one thing I'm not going to have is a cell phone. I've had two phones for 15 years. And I tell you, they get to me sometimes. All time, night and day, Saturday night, I had to go in meth head, run up next to the fire extinguisher, about knocked it off. But I know one thing. There'll be one call that I'll answer. When he calls, I will answer. But God give me the grace and the ability by grace not to bow to this world. Listen, guys, a world, a nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. But he didn't appoint us to wrath. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, the power, the love, the sound mind. And I'm glad tonight that I know him and he knows me. And I'd like to get to know him just a little better. And I'd like to get him to just be able to help me. Anything before we dismiss? Buck, now don't you let that bother you. We love you. We think it's a little funny. It ain't funny, but Don't you let that stuff bother you.
Yeah.
We had a young family come down here one time, their baby cried, and the younger cried, and it bothered them so much it wouldn't come back. I said, honey, that baby you're crying don't bother us. Come on back. That's just a trick of the devil is what it is. I'm like Gene. I'd like to hear a baby cry, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd like to hear a little old baby cry. That means they're hungry. And I tell you what, when the church goes to crying, it causes me to want to shake the bucket. I'm gonna tell you something tonight, guys. I mean, you think about this, and you listening out there by radio, you think about this too. I know we got some coming back in the church, and I know some can't come in, but maybe there's some out there that could if they just would. I wonder out there when people quit being hungry for God's Word. And I wonder about this, these churches that are down to nothing, no preachers. Did the congregation quit getting hungry and quit asking God for something to eat? It makes you wonder, don't it? But I tell you what, if you stay hungry for God, God will send a Moses to you. He'll send a deliverer to you. Or he'll put you where you can eat. Praise God. Boy, I feel like preaching, but I better quit. I get excited about God, don't you? Just knowing all that. Listen, guys, Buck Buford read it the other day. All scripture in here is for us. All of it's for us. I don't understand all of it, but I understand enough of it to keep me going. Does that make sense? Probably wasn't said real well, but if you understand it and desire it, he'll help you. All hearts and minds clear. Come Sunday morning and look for the Lord to strengthen you and help you. Give you that you need. If nothing else tonight, Brother Donnie, you dismiss us in prayer, will you, brother?